quack, 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 quack,
welcome back to D5 the Mighty Ducks, the podcast where we discuss the 1996 Disney hockey sequel, D3 the Mighty Ducks, 5 minutes at a time. I'm your host, Blake, and let me bring on my guest for this week from Random Chatter, returning from last season, Tim Riker. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Blake. Thanks for having me back. I guess I wasn't, you know, too bad last time around, so, you know, you brought me in for some filler this time, which is good. I appreciate it.
Well, we're having some fun here. We're having some fun. No, I tried to bring back as many people as I could in the last three seasons. So,
awesome.
Well, yes. Well, first things first, before we get into the film itself, I asked you last season about D2. What's your history with this film, D3?
You know, not as extensive. I had seen D2 more times than D3. When I was watching it again this time, I realized, you know, I definitely wasn't as familiar with it. But it's still a really fun movie, and it's a nice evolution of our group, you know, as they're moving forward and, you know, playing against varsity and that kind of stuff. So it's you get a really cool dynamic with it. Obviously, you got the new coach. So, yeah, it changes up a few things.
Yeah, definitely. We are at the point of the movie where we just had our first practice. And our last conversation I had with Tierney last week was how we were saying 15 minutes does not seem like enough time to practice to get ready to leave. To kill it. I mean, I don't blame them. I remember my first football practice, we didn't move. We literally didn't move from the benches for almost an hour.
Because you're either being lectured at or screamed at.
Or just exhausted. Or just flat out exhausted.
That too.
I remember that. So, like, 15 minutes is impossible in this case. Especially hockey gear takes, like, 10 minutes to get off on its own.
Well, exactly. Exactly.
Don't get it. It makes no sense. So he did put the positions up when we last left us, and I like how everyone gets all insulted by where they are on this lineup.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is, this is like so typical to like certainly every sports team, but there's also even other things out there too, where it's like, hey, you know, you're trying to figure out where you're going to get placed, and yeah, the kids were just so ticked off about it. You know, I mean, obviously Goldberg's really ticked off because Julie made starting goalie.
I know.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he was really thrown for a loop. And then, you know, of course, Charlie, you know, you have Captain Tibbid. Captain TBD.
I'm sorry, I make fun of Dwayne all the time. But Captain Tibbet is a great joke.
Oh, it really is. It really is. It's absolutely solid. And yeah, so, you know, I mean, Charlie's not getting captain to start, which is that's kind of a bit of a crush to, I mean, a little certainly a bit to his ego. Not that he's like this hugely egotistical player, but he really has been, you know, the on-ice leader, and everyone looks to him. And so this whole change-up with a new coach is just like, It makes, as a viewer, it makes you not like the coach. You know, I mean, they're giving you that same perspective as the players.
Well, the funny part is that I've been saying this since the beginning of this season. When was Charlie named captain? He was never named captain before this movie. Like, I never quite understood why they keep saying
that. You know, that's true. That's a good
I keep repeating this over and over again, but it's like, it bothers me. And they keep making a big deal out of this in the movie, but it never happened in the other two.
That's very true, now that you mention it. Yeah.
The other big change is that Banks made varsity. Which,
yes.
Wow, that was a big surprise.
That's a big thing, which, you know, obviously, you know, not going to spoil anything, but later in the movie, that becomes even more of a thing, so.
What's interesting about that is, like, how did he make varsity when they were just practicing as JV? Like, I don't understand how he made the varsity. It's not like the varsity coach saw him play. That's the weird part about it.
Yeah.
I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. Unless his reputation preceded him.
You know, maybe. Or the varsity coach is, you know, up in the bleachers off camera.
Maybe. Or, like I said, remember in the last movie they were talking about scouts watching him? So maybe
yes. They've
been scouting him. Maybe they know who he is. You know, he had been the star in Minnesota on, like, three championship teams at this point.
So totally.
It's a big deal.
Yep.
That's possible. But anyway, Goldberg, not being goaltender, his reaction is amazing. Like, he drags himself up in goalie pads. He almost, like, almost wants to curse out the screen. Curse out the sheet. It is so
funny. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. The inner Philly comes out of him. That's for sure. Oh, man. That is so funny. So then we move on past the roster lineup, and we get back to Hans. Hans, who is not in the last movie, which everyone keeps asking me, where was Hans last movie? Apparently, in canon, he was in Russia. Sure.
All right.
That's what they claimed in the last movie, so what's his go with it?
Right.
But he's back. I'm happy to see Hans back. I'm very excited to see him here.
It brought me back a little bit because one of my first jobs when I was in high school and then going a touch in the college, I worked at a sporting goods store.
Oh, nice.
And I got to also do a lot of work in the shop. And one of those things was sharpening skates. I mean, I've sharpened dozens, hundreds, maybe pairs of skates, you know, so it's like the scene opens up. And, like, I even know that sound, you know, and certainly anyone who's played hockey a lot or been around any of that stuff, you know that sound of the stone on the blade, and it brought me back a little bit. And, you know, he has this gag with the ketchup, which is, you know, kind of funny, but.
It's the same gag in the first movie. It's like, callback, we got to go back to the same gag we did in the first movie.
Totally.
Got to do it. So I had to look up the song. But the hearing, and we haven't heard much music really in this movie in general, which is surprising. We heard the second movie where there was a lot of music at this point. There was a lot of music played at all.
Yeah.
Outside of, like, the score. And I did find out this is actually a traditional piece being played. I can't pronounce the artist because it's Russian. I can't pronounce it. But it translates to the Bear Waltz, which is a
Waltz.
So, like, it did not surprise me whatsoever that this would be the kind of music that Hans would play while he's working.
Sure.
Like, this is surprising. It reminds me a lot of, I think it was Tuesdays with Maury when I went to see him, and all of a sudden they're playing La Boheme, and I'm like, of course, that's a big perfect. So that's pretty cool here. But his whole scene is actually interesting because he knows it's Charlie. Like, I just am so shocked. It's like, I know you by the way you enter a room. I'm like, what? Yeah. Again, right before we came on the air, I knew my son running up the stairs. So, like,
There you go.
I understand.
Well, and Hans also knows by the way that he walks into the room that, you know, he's depressed over something, too. Which is just, you know, he knows these kids. Despite not being in the second movie, he knows these kids.
He does know them really, really well, which is impressive. I'm not going to lie. It is really cool that he is there for them in this movie. And I remember watching this for the first time. I'm like, they brought Hans back. That can't be good. And I was young when the movie came out. I'm like, it can't be good that they brought him back because they don't bring a character like this back for good reasons.
Yeah.
No way. We'll get to that later. And I have a special guest for that scene later on in the movie. So we'll get there. But, of course, he starts complaining about Orion, which is expected. But then we find out that he left the North Stars when he was still in his prime. This is the first time we're really talking about legitimately Orion.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. So back to the
first. Yeah, I mean, Hans is basically giving us the intel.
the real intel, because at the end of the movie, we were getting the kid's perspective. This is the real, like, he left in his prime, but he didn't continue to continue on. We'll obviously find out more later. I think I asked you last movie, hockey fan, how big of a hockey fan are you?
So interestingly enough, I am absolutely a hockey fan. I am not as big of a hockey fan as I used to be, mostly because of like lack of time.
Oh.
I used to be just, you know, having more time, I used to be able to watch a ton of games. I am mostly a Kings fan,
which
of course is rough being on the East Coast, because you don't get, you know, if I happen to catch a home game of theirs, it's not starting until 10 o'clock at night.
Yep.
And, you know, once in a while I might catch an East Coast game. But of course, since I'm up in central New York, it's pretty much only if they're playing like the Islanders, the Rangers, the Devils, that's usually the only like pretty much guaranteed, you know, airing of a game that I'll see. Aside from that, I'm also a really big Flyers fan.
I'm a Devils fan. I grew up in Jersey. So I'm a Devils fan. So
and so actually where I live used to be for many years was the farm team for the Jersey Devils, the Utica Devils.
Yes.
And so, yeah, so that's where, like, I grew up going to those games and watching hockey there until they moved. And then we ended up with, like, some, you know, Z-level teams here. And now we're finally back to some AHL, which is fantastic.
Yeah, we have the Milwaukee Admirals here. So
yeah,
the Admirals farm team. That's what we have here. So, like, I got to see Pekka Rinne during an injury stint a couple of years ago. So that was really cool. So, like, things like that. So, like, I get to see some really cool players here before they go to Nashville. So I get that. So I was just wondering, because I know they bring up the North Stars.
Yep.
Talking about the Minnesota North Stars a lot in this movie. And it's funny because I know I had some other guests on here that didn't know that the Stars were in Minnesota. They didn't know that. Like, that was a thing that happened.
Yeah.
Because when they say Minnesota, you think the Wild.
Right.
The Stars. So, yeah.
The North Stars were in Minnesota, and you know, Hartford used to have a hockey team. And
Hartford. Well, it's about Hartford. I have to bring this story up. So I still listen to Devils games on the radio out here because I have to. But I listen to Jersey. I used to listen to Devils afternoon games because my best friend would be in walking distance. So instead of hanging out in front of the house, we hang out outside his house and listen to the game on the radio.
Nice.
And shout out to Mike Miller, one of my favorite radio host voices of all time. But Hartford, I'll never forget Hartford. Playing in Hartford because of that train goal horn. I will never forget it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Now you just brought me back to hear that train goal horn from Hartford.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh, people are looking at us like, what the hell are you talking about? But, yeah.
No, it's true. It's true. I mean, there's so many great things about that particular era of hockey, like from the 80s and into the 90s, you know, really great teams, really great hockey. I mean, probably the big reason why I'm also a Flyers fan is because of Ron Hextall. You know, I mean, legendary goaltender.
Legion of Doom.
Yeah, you know, I mean, more fighting penalty minutes than any other goaltender ever.
I'm a crash hunter. I get it. I'm a crash
hunter. Yeah.
Oh, man. Actually, I was listening to a podcast and they were talking about the most, like, penalty minutes in Devil's history, and then Christoph Obiwak came up. I haven't heard that name in, like, 20 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's been so long, and I've seen so many Obiwak fights at games.
Well, and as a Kings fan, you know, Marty McSorley, who, you know, of course, even before that, he was with the Oilers. You know, he basically came over with Gretzky.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know, Marty would just pummel people just because.
Exactly.
Just because they were wearing ice skates, he would pummel them.
Oh, man. Now people understand why the basketballs are a thing in these movies. It's because hockey was like that in the 90s.
Exactly. Well, exactly. And that's it. Because these movies are very much of the era of hockey, you know, that we were big fans in. And that's, yeah, I mean, that's certainly one of the attractions, I think, to these movies is just that.
Exactly. All right, we move on. We're now in the cafeteria, and this is a conversation that still that bothers me now more as an adult than it did when I was younger. Goldberg trying to figure out how to get Julie out of the net, and the conversation starts off normal. Completely starts off normal. Talking about gameplay and game experience. I completely get all of it. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
But then he gets to the fact that maybe I should lose some weight. Maybe I'll go become faster. And then Avery looks at him and says, no, maybe you should have her gain a few pounds. This bothers me so much now.
it's pretty wild. And I mean, of course, like plot-wise, it's really funny because, okay, plot-wise, you really can't, like, it's all right, sure, a character's going to lose weight, but that's going to take months. But to put weight on, and of course, how they did it was funny. I mean, he shows up with this giant platter of donuts and other pastries. It was funny. He sets him in front of her, she starts eating.
He spent money on all this. Like, that's the best part. He spent that. He spent money on this. How much money do you have in his pocket to buy that platter?
Exactly.
Oh, my God. It's ridiculous. Even before the platter shows up, though, we do have the varsity still picking on our JV squad.
Yes.
We don't get to the next 5 minutes. We'll have the culmination of this scene and probably the grossest scene in this entire franchise happens in the next 5 minutes. Yeah. Not even close. I do love the fact that, and I'm still trying to figure out why Fulton is saying, I need Portman here to start a fight. You could probably do it on your own. You're pretty damn tough. Like, I don't understand.
Absolutely. I don't know. I mean, backup is always a good thing, I guess, but, you know.
True. And he's not going to get some of these people, but, like, And of course, we have our Charlie's love interest over here getting picked down by the cheerleaders.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's something that will come brought up later. This is weird. This is weird because earlier this year I was on Wildcat Minute during High School Musical. And we were talking about Six of the Status Quo. That was actually the song I was on for. And it's pretty much the same concept as this entire scene I'm watching in this movie. Because this is exactly what's going on here. They're mixing and mingling, and nobody wants that, apparently. Luis, though, makes it for me. Luis is hysterical. He starts talking to her, Mindy here. By the way, Mindy, this is her first movie credit. Melissa Keller, this is her first credit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she didn't have much of an IMDb, but this is her very first movie credit. So,
okay.
It's her movie debut. The cheerleaders, by the way, are very hard to find. On IMDb. You're very difficult. We don't have many credits, so they're difficult to find them. So we find out that she's, to no surprise and cliche whatsoever, the head cheerleader is dating the captain of the hockey team. Wow, that's a shocker.
Yeah, big shocker. You know, pretty much a common trope in every, you know, high school sports movie that ever existed.
Yeah, normally it's football, and here we have hockey. So But I like the fact that he actually, okay, Luis has some balls because he goes and says, give me 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Outside the after school. What? What are you doing? Such a weird line. In a kid's movie. What?
In a kid's movie. It really is. You're like, what are you going to do in 5 minutes, dude? I you don't even know what you're doing.
It's a dirty joke for 5 minutes. And it's not even topped by him crawling under the table and looking up their skirts. I'm like, this is a kid's movie. What are we doing?
Which is so, like, Revenge of the Nerds kind of stuff.
Yes.
That, you know, is, of course, almost 20 years after Revenge of the Nerds, that they would put something like that in there. And it's so weird. Like, you would never see that now in a movie.
No, absolutely not.
I mean,
it is not maybe a kid's movie.
Exactly. Like, you would see it in a raunchier, like, PG-13 movie, but definitely not in a PG movie, like,
in
at all.
In a Disney movie.
Yeah, no, that's wild. You just wouldn't see that.
I did just pause it on him breaking the fourth wall and looking at us in the camera. As I'm just staring at the girls like, really? What's this a guy we're doing? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, by the way, so when I looked up at the beginning of this movie, I wanted to look up the school, and there is this whole Wikipedia page, a made-up Wikipedia page about the school, which cracked me up.
Really?
Trying to type out a fake Wikipedia page for the school.
Oh, that's funny.
On the Disney Wiki page, and they actually put down that they have a stable for horses in the Wikipedia.
You're kidding?
Because
oh, that's funny. Yeah.
I was like, wow, you guys have a lot of time in your hands to pull that off.
Yeah, nice attention to detail.
Yes, I
nice attention
that.
To detail. I give him that.
Yes. I am now at the shot of Goldberg and the goodies. And I just paused it. I paused on my screen here. And there are, like, cookies and, like, donuts. And I think I see brownies. This is a ridiculous array of food. Like,
I mean, we call them lobster tails here.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, like, and I think that's one of the things that, like, she grabs. So, I mean, there's a ton of stuff on there. It's just, and it's a funny scene. I mean, of course, she's not going to put on 20 pounds in one session of eating those. But, you know, just the humor of his effort to, you know, to basically get her out of the starting position is pretty funny.
Yeah, and you know, he did say he bought them. So, like, how much money did he spend on this? Like, how
yeah. much money did yeah. he spend?
It's just like almost $30 worth of food. A better question, how much damn money are they carrying around at this school?
Yeah.
How much
yeah.
money are they carrying around? Like, some kids are bringing lunch from home and you can spend $30 on desserts. Like,
that and the fact that goaltenders don't have money because their parents spend all the money on equipment.
Yes, also true.
I mean,
I understand they're here on a scholarship. I can excuse that. They're here on a scholarship. They didn't pay for school.
True.
That's fine. But, like, exactly, where did the money come from to do the joke?
Yeah.
Averman's sitting there like, I know he knows what he's doing. And Julie does not see Averman's face, which makes it even funnier. Like,
yeah,
laughing to himself with the worst poker face of all time. So, and that is where we end our 5 minutes. This is a fun 5 minutes. I'm not gonna lie. There's a lot set up here for, like, future moments in this movie. So much
yeah.
going on. Ay, ay. So
yeah, much- it's a good 5 minutes. I mean, it's, I, you know, and you know that you can. Since you've been doing this a lot, you can pick a movie apart by 5 minutes here and there. Sometimes you're just going to, you know, get a bunch of, you know, dialogue, which is kind of ho-hum. And even in this, I mean, obviously there was no action. We didn't get any, you know, good hockey playing action like you hooked me up with last season.
True.
But this gives us some good comedy. It gives us, like, a lot of the solid plot set up. So, I like, this was good. In 5 minutes, there's a lot that happened here.
Yeah, it sets up later in the movie, which is always
yeah.
it is always very, very fun to do that. Yeah, I will set this up to you then, since we have the time. Our question for the season: high school stories, funny and crazy high school stories. I'll set it up to you. Have the time? You have the floor. Share something funny for us. Go for it.
All but, right. High school story. I think it was my sophomore year, and. My cousin and I, and we're pretty close. My cousin and I we had lunch period together. And I don't even remember what it was, but, you know, we would like eat lunch together. We had a lot of, like, common friends and stuff. So I, you know, get my food, go into the cafeteria, sit down next to him. And this is, and he still has the same attitude. He knows this, and him and I still laugh over the same thing. He's just one of those people who will, like, just poke you and poke you and poke you and just tick you right off. He likes to push buttons and antagonize, and he doesn't do it maliciously. He does it, you know, kind of in genuine fun, and he likes to see how far he can get you. So whatever it was that he said, I don't even remember what it was. Sent me, like, immediately over the edge. I stand up in my chair and I punch him right in the top of the head.
Oh shit!
So, you know, you've got your lunch hall, your cafeteria monitors, and of course one of them saw.
Of course.
And so they come over. We get taken down to the principal's office, and, like, we're going down the hallway to the principal's office. We're laughing about it. He's got this big goose egg on his forehead. But, like, you know, again, we're cousins. We grew up together. We would get, you know, little altercations like that here and there. Nothing, you know, not a big deal for us. And literally, we then end up in, end up in front of the principal. And the principal's, you know, kind of grilling us about the whole thing and all real stern and ticked off. And we're laughing. We're like, dude, you don't get, like, we're cousins. This happens all the time.
Right.
So this was the Monday before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Suspends us for the rest of that day and Tuesday.
What?
And so you had Thanksgiving break Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So we basically got the whole day off for going to school for like 2.5 hours. And it's funny because neither one of us had like ever gotten a detention, never got suspended, nothing. We just simply weren't troublemakers in school. It wasn't our thing. But, you know, you put the two of us together and that's what happens. So, you know, we each call our parents and like, yeah, you got to come pick us up. We got into a fight. And here's what happened. Our parents, like, again, because our parents know we're not troublemakers, they're like, you dumb kids. Fine. So, like, we got into no trouble at home at all because our parents are like, you know, and our parents, it's my mother and my mother's sister, my aunt. And they're like, yeah, all right, fine, whatever.
Right.
and that was that. So, I mean, that's kind of as exciting as it got for me in high school. So it was,
It was funny. It just reminded me of the time I actually talked them out of giving me in-school suspension at my high school. Because what happened was it was a Friday, and I was on the football team. This is during the season. Our game was supposed to be on Saturday, got moved to Monday. But Friday, mm-hmm. we're in football jerseys, everyone knows who we are, whatever. So Friday, hope we go in, and we had a substitute in one of the classes. And me and this other kid from my homeroom, we've known each other for years. So it's not like we know each other. We just started getting into an argument over a seat. It's all joking aside, and we push each other as a joke. And then we just sit down and we laugh. The subject thought we were having a fight. And wrote us up. It gets sent down to disciplinary. This is on Friday. I come back on Monday morning. Disciplinary is my football coach. And he calls me into his office like, you got into a fight? Are you kidding me? Like, but I didn't. I didn't get into a fight. Like, I can't deal with this. He couldn't deal with this in good conscience. They wouldn't let him deal with this in good conscience on football. He's football. He wouldn't let us. He went do with the. She said, "This is the vice principal's office."
Right, right.
And he's like, "Okay, fine. Well, what happened?" And we're laughing. The two of us are laughing, joking around. Sure. Like, why would you guys get into a fight? We didn't get into a fight. Here's what happened. He's like, "Well, the teacher wrote down fight."
There was no fight.
We have to suspend you. And I'm like, "But we didn't get into a fight." He's like, "Okay, if you can find her and have her rewrite the sheet, I will get you off of suspension." But they wouldn't let me play in the football game that day. If I changed.
So yeah,
go upstairs and find the substitute who was in another class and have her rewrite the sheet in the morning so I could play in the 1 o'clock football game that afternoon.
Oh boy.
Yay. I forgot about that until you brought that up. I completely forgot about that happened.
That's funny.
Trust me, that happened to me too. Like, that's crazy. I had to talk my way out of it because of the football. I had to.
Oh, sure, yeah.
We had a road game. I had to hit the road in like an hour. I had to hit the road. And they're letting us out of school early for a road game. Like,
right.
Well, then, that is where we leave us here. Well, while we get the plugs out of the way, I know you got a lot going on over by you over at Random Chat. You got a lot going on right now. So, Daddy, get some plugs in.
I do. Thank you. I appreciate it. You can find me over at the Random Chatter Network. We have a lot of shows over there. I happen to be on a bunch of them. Our flagship show, Random Chatter, which is kind of our general pop culture entertainment show. I am also on, there's a long story, which I'm not going to bore everyone with, but this coming weekend, we have the very first episode of Force Chatter, which is our new flagship Star Wars show. It's a combination.
I know the story in my head.
It's a combination of The Outer Rim and Echo Base. And Echo Base has been around for a very, very long time. And our last episode of Echo Base, we kind of explained why. So if you're really curious, then you can go listen to that. But so we're going to be starting the first episode of Force Chatter this weekend. I'm also the showrunner on our Marvel Cinematic Universe new show, Guardians of the MCU, and then our brand new MCU reaction show, MCU TV, which is obviously with WandaVision starting last week, and the next episode, episode 3, starting tomorrow morning. That's basically what we're covering over there right now. So, yeah, a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah, definitely. And I am a big fan of you guys over in Canada. I've listened to it for years.
Hey, we appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. We actually had Lizzie on my main show earlier this year. So
yes, she mentioned that.
Yes, she was awesome on it. She was on for like an hour just talking about all the stuff from the Disney call, the Disney Investors call. So that was fun.
Her energy, I mean, I, you know, those are the four main shows that I'm on. She's on three of those with me.
Yes, I do.
And I just absolutely love the energy that she brings to things. And, you know, not that I always agree with her either.
No.
But I love the energy that she brings to stuff. And she's a pip. She is. And her and I have been friends for a long time.
Yes. So ask for me. And by the way, you can get your D5 the Mighty Ducks t-shirt from TeePublic. I am wearing that today. I see you're wearing your random chatter.
Very nice. Yes.
Public as well.
That's so right.
Definitely pick up merchandise that we're presenting our shows. You can hear me over on the Blake and Sal Show every single Friday right after you hear this show. Go listen to the Blake and Sal Show. We cover sports. We cover wrestling. We cover a bunch of entertainment news. It really depends on what the hell's going on that week, what we're talking about. Because honestly, there's time. I don't know. We're talking about an hour before we go on the air. So it happens many times where I'm literally finishing up the red sheet like an hour or two before we go on. Because yep. I don't know what's going on half the time. So we're going to be over there. You can hear D5 the Mighty Ducks. You can follow us over on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and on all podcasting platforms, including iHeartRadio. Thank you, Tim. This was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
No problem. And after everybody listening, thank you so much. And I'll see you next week when I will have Nate Ridley back on, one of our all-star guests, coming back next week for my fun next 5 minutes and probably the grossest scene in this entire franchise. Till then, thank you all for listening and have a good day, everybody.
And when everyone says it can't be done, ducks fly together.